to seek your face, to hear your word proclaimed, to pray to you, and to have your spirit move in our midst. Father, we are here at your command, at your call. We love you, Lord, and we praise you for all you've done for us. Thank you for Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, that through him and his finished work we are saved, those of us who have trusted in Christ. We are born again. We are on our way to heaven. Your spirit is working in us even now as we worship together and fellowship together in this hour. We thank you for our nation. We love our country. We praise you for the blessing it has been to be born here, to grow up here, whatever each of our stories are. Most of us, I assume, were born here and grew up here. We know what this nation can be. We know the days, we remember them. Some of us were living when they were happening, when you were honored, when belief in you, belief in your word was understood. It was a core base of the nation. And we have seen over the years an assault on this, on so many things that you love has been assaulted. And so we pray that as we celebrate this day, the birthday of our nation, that we would see you work in a mighty way and that you would use us, give us wisdom as we talk to our fellow citizens, our neighbors, our friends, our family members about the challenges before us, that we would be true to your word, that we would be true to the truth, that we would proclaim that which is and not bow to lies. We pray that your love will flow from us to the people that we speak with, and we pray that they will see in us a passion for you, a passion for your word, for its proclamation, a passion for the gospel, and a passion for liberty that gives people the freedom to be able to make the choice, to choose to follow, to do what you have called us to do or to reject and to face the consequences from your hand. We pray that government will once again be what it's supposed to be, as outlined in your word. We pray that there would be a great move of your spirit across the land as we address the challenges before us. Father, we thank you that we're here today, and we thank you for all that you're doing in this hour. We pray for your blessing on Pastor in particular as he brings the message today. Fill him with your spirit, and may we have hearts open wide to hear what you have to say. And we give you thanks and praise for all these things and your many blessings to us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
John chapter 8. And beginning at verse number 21. John 8:21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say, to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, how we thank you and praise you for your wonderful word, for the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's proclaimed that if we know him, we are free indeed. We have freedom, eternal, everlasting life in Christ Jesus, our blessed Savior. How we thank you and praise you, Lord, that we live in a country that is free. We still have the opportunity to come to church, worship you. We still have the opportunity to live our lives without any problems ordinarily. We just ask you to help us, Lord, to walk in fellowship with you and to do your will, to honor you and magnify your name in everything that we do. We know that that's the only way to really prosper, is to exalt and praise and honor the Lord God Almighty. So we thank you. We thank you for our country. We thank you for enabling our founding fathers to establish this land. And we have continued now for over 200 years, and we just pray that we might continue on. And Lord, that we might see a great revival in this nation. We think of so many who have turned aside from following after you. We pray, O God, that you might draw them back and overcome the forces of evil. We just pray, Lord, that we would honor you and serve you each and every day of our lives. May Christ Jesus, our Savior, be glorified in all these things. Be with those that cannot be with us today here because of sickness or some other reason. We pray that you'll watch over them and keep them. Keep us all in your care and lead us by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Today, as you well know, is Independence Day, right on the dot. And when we as Americans celebrate the freedom that we enjoy in this great country, no nation on earth has been so blessed by God with so many natural resources and opportunities to succeed in life. People come from all over the world, don't they, to our nation because of the blessedness that God has placed upon us. How thankful we should be for all the advantages that we have as citizens of the United States of America. How grateful we should be for those who have made it possible by sacrificing themselves and shedding their blood to maintain the freedoms that we enjoy. It's a real responsibility that we have as Christians and as citizens to stand up and to do what we can to enhance this great nation. How can we keep from losing the freedoms that we see slipping away from us? We can pray fervently for our country. I hope we do. And we can see revival come if God so grant that we might. We need that so desperately, don't we? In our churches, we need revival. You know, it says over in 2 Chronicles 7:14, a verse I know that's quoted quite often, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, and I shall hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their lands. That, of course, was given to Israel, but I think we can apply it as well. If we are the people of God, then we can expect him to answer that prayer. We can unite as believers to demand righteousness on the part of our leaders. They should do the right things. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. We must stand up for the truth and set a good example to those who look to us for leadership. And we must not withdraw, but be active in promoting that which is good and righteous. You know, we have the privilege in this nation to elect our leaders. We need to be sure that we are electing those who would be most suited for that office. But as important as physical freedom is, it's such so much more important to have spiritual freedom, isn't it? We read about that this morning in the passage from John. And many who are walking around free are really bound by the chains of sin, aren't they? Jesus said that down in verse 34. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And that word servant there is bondservant, it's slave. So this is the reason people sin. They are bound in sin because they are following the lusts of their own heart and not obeying God. The servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. The Lord Jesus is always on hand to help us in every situation. He says, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. What is truth? This is what we want to look at this morning. We see a number of things that he speaks of here that are true. I'm sure that for many of you this is something to go over again. You've probably heard this before. But anyway, first of all, Jesus said that God the Heavenly Father is true. He's not false. He will not fail us. He will not turn away from us. He is true. Look at verse 26. He says, I have many things to say to you and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. God the Heavenly Father sent his only begotten Son into this world to save us from our sins, didn't he? And to go to the cross and die for us that we might have everlasting life. And all that he says is true. We see in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God is so faithful and true to his word, he will never deceive us nor fail us. We need to look to him and find that answer that we need. He's the one who is altogether righteous and holy. It says in 1 John, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. We don't have to wonder what God's nature is. He is altogether holy and righteous and true and faithful. There is another person, however, that is the deceiver. Satan himself is the father of lies. Down in verse 44 of our passage, he says, ye are of your father the devil. Oh my goodness. Is this Jesus is speaking to these people, calling them children of the devil? My goodness. That's all strange, isn't it? But he says, you are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So here we find Satan himself, who is the father of lies. He's the great deceiver, the one who turns us away from the truth. He is a murderer, a deceiver, a destroyer. And the very opposite. It's interesting, he says he has no truth in him. Everything he does is to deceive people, to blind us to the truth of God's word. So we need to make sure that we recognize the fact that we have an enemy and that we need to stand against him and turn to the Father. He says, come unto me and I will give you rest, Jesus said. So then look then, the Son himself, as we know, is spoken of as the truth, right? The verse that we all probably know, John 14:6 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the truth. There is no other. There anything else is not the way. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is to be believed. Everything that he says is true. And we need to follow his teachings. He came down from heaven to do the Father's will. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. And to provide salvation for all who would put their faith and trust in him. All those who would repent of their sins and turn to him and depend upon him for their salvation. It's not religion as such that sets men free. People all over the world have religion. Some of the most religious people are the ones that's doing evil. And punishing and persecuting those who are seeking to do what's right. It's not religion. It's salvation through Christ Jesus. He is the one who provides this for us. Jesus points out here in verse 34, he says, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. They are not free. People think they're free, you know. Oh, I don't believe in God anymore, I'm free, right? But no, that's not it at all. They are slaves. They're slaves many times to alcohol, slaves to drugs, slaves to immorality, and all the things that the world holds up so greatly, all kinds of sensual sins. They promise liberty, you know. Oh, you're going to be free. You can do as you please, right? But it ends up that they are slaves and unable to follow through. On the other hand, it says, Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. That's where true freedom lies, in accepting Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior and following him. It says in another verse in Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, Paul tells us, he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't turn to anything else. Turn to Christ, follow him, stand fast in that freedom that we have, free from sin. Now, that's not free to sin, is it? We're not free to sin. We are free from sin. And we need to make sure that we are obeying the Lord and walking with him, serving him. So Jesus does not set us free so that we can violate the commands of God, but rather that we might live in righteousness and truth, that we might be faithful to him. He gives us that power. The Holy Spirit lives within us to guide us in the way we ought to go. And that's the Spirit is truth. Look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Now we know throughout the Old Testament period, the Holy Spirit came upon people for a particular reason, and then would leave. Here with the apostles, the Holy Spirit was with them up until Pentecost, when he came in great power, and then now indwells those who know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But notice it calls him here the Spirit of truth. You see? We find the truth all through the Scriptures. And God the Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and here the Spirit of God. We know there's only one God, right? And they are three persons in one God, and they all are the same. They all have the same qualities, the same essence. I have another verse here in chapter 16, verse 13. It says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." So there is the Holy Spirit glorifying the Lord Jesus and giving him all the praise for what he has done for us. The scripture says, "Try the spirits to see if they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world." So we have to be careful, don't we? That we make sure that it is the Spirit of God who is speaking. There are other spirits as well, and we can be led astray if we're not careful. But he is the Spirit of truth. And then, of course, we have God's Word. God's Word is truth. John 17:17, verse simply says, Jesus is praying here to the Heavenly Father, and he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So Jesus came speaking the truth, was ridiculed, mocked, and eventually killed. They refused to believe him. Yet some did believe. Here in our text in John 8, again, verse 30 and 31, it says, "As he spake these words, many believed on him." They believed on Jesus. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Jesus is telling them, yes, it's wonderful to believe, but follow through with what you believe. Let your belief lead in your life and make you what you ought to be. Jesus urged them to continue, to follow on, to become disciples. You know, the word disciples means learners. You know, that's the reason we need to be constantly learning the truth and putting it into our lives and making us what God wants us to be. We need to commit ourselves to keeping God's word. Let's hide God's word in our hearts. It says over in the Psalms that you do not sin against God. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Sin brings bondage, but God's word sets us free, doesn't it? He says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So all of these things that have to do with God, that's the truth, isn't it? You want to know what the truth is? Pilate asked Jesus, you know, "What is truth?" Well, here it is. God the Father, he's true. You can trust him. The Lord Jesus is our Savior. He is true. He says, "I am the truth." The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And God's Word gives us the truth about salvation, how we can know that we have eternal life. Have you believed in God as your Father, Jesus as your Savior? Have you put your faith in him? Have you believed his word unto salvation? This is the questions that we need to ask ourselves to make sure that we are in right standing with the Lord and that we know his truth. And as believers, we need to practice the truth in our life, walk in righteousness and truth, and be witnesses to others as God gives us the opportunities. We need to come to him and follow after the truth, because the truth will set you free. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word. We thank you for your truth, that we can put our faith and trust in you. and that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins when we place our faith and trust in Him. Bless now as we come to the communion table today. We pray that we would all draw closer to You and that we would remember our Lord Jesus in a very special way. Thank You. In His precious name we pray. Amen.